The Hope Candle, Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light was dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used to in battle, in every garment rolled in blood, will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now I'm going to try to light the candle. Pray for me. Hallelujah. May your mighty blessings be upon us all this Christmas season. May your light shine upon our lives, removing the darkness about us. May the joyful good news of Jesus and his coming change our lives and give us hope for when he comes again in power. Amen.
Mr. Jess Lewis will now do our scripture reading.
Mr. Jess Lewis. If I had an office, Mr. Jess Lewis. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Scripture this morning, Joseph accepts Jesus as his son. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. God bless the reading of the word.
Thank you, sir. All right, it's beginning to feel a little bit like Christmas. Ready or not? Slowly we proceed into the Christmas time. So I'm hoping that you'll hang out with us a little bit and decorate the tree. We'll throw some ornaments up after services. And on your way out, maybe you grab an ornament or two and hang it up and throw it up on the tree and help us decorate our tree. Saturday coming up also will be a Christmas festival. It'll be here. There'll be a concert here Saturday night. Later that afternoon before the concert in the afternoon, there's kids stuff and bounce houses and cookies and all that kind of stuff. So that's the kind of stuff we're hoping to involve others in. If you're willing to help and want to help, that's the place to help. And so we're all trying to get into the festivities, sometimes a little bit early, so that later we're not doing a bunch of churchy stuff. You can have time for family and all that kind of stuff. But slowly we try to get into the Christmas spirit, and the church tries to lead a little bit. You can find information in your bulletins. Is that correct? Barbara's waving something like,
I need...
Share some information, right? You have bulletin inserts and pass them out. Leave them at the table when you walk away from there. Right? And we need cookies. Oh, cookies. Any bakers in the house? We need some cookies. Come on, bring some cookies. So is this time of the year kind of, is it stressful or is it joyful? Joyfully stressful. Stressfully joyful. Yeah, yeah. What can put a damper on your holiday cheer? What can put a damper on your holiday cheer? Calendar starts to fill up with parties and friends. Cards start coming in the mail. Slowly you start to move into that place. Does anybody do they write their year in review and mail it out? Anybody do that? A couple people do that? Yeah, I've done that a couple times, you know. We ask most of our international workers to do that. Please, if they're on your mailing list or your prayer list or something, write a year in review kind of thing and send it out. But it can be hectic, to say the least, during the holidays as traffic picks up and lines get heavy and you realize, I got to buy a gift and I got no money. You know. So I'm reading a while back about this little girl who's watching her mother and father getting ready for the Christmas season. And it's not long before they start bickering. And the bickering leads to stress and arguments, and they become preoccupied with the burdens and the parties and the presents, and they start squabbling about money, and before long they're full out fighting all the time about Christmas, and they just don't have time for her. She's kind of pushed to the side. And one night she prays, Our Father, which art in heaven, forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who have Christmased against us. The Christmas season is an Advent season. Advent is the anticipation. It's an expectation of arrival of the Messiah, the Emmanuel, the Christ. See, it's not an Advent season for holiday parties. It's not the Advent season in anticipation of holiday cookies or gifts and cards and presents. That's not the Advent of anticipation. Emmanuel, God living among us, walking with us. That's Christmas celebration. God with us. I really hope we can adopt this kind of an attitude as we move into and through Christmas. There's an anticipation, an expectation, a hope, if you will, God with us. Our reading is about Joseph, primarily about Joseph. Joseph didn't stay in the spotlight very long in the scriptures. We really don't know a lot about Joseph. But we can learn a few things about him, even from some simple passages. One is, here's your first one, God is in the dilemma. God is with us in the dilemma. Believing God is with you difficult at times. Especially if you're watching all your hopes and your dreams get dashed away. Especially if you need transportation. Especially if you don't have any money. Especially if you're ill. Especially if you're bitter towards all the things that you believe that God has done and tortured you with. If you're isolated in pain and depressed. Joseph's pledged to be married, bestowed, right? Betrothed to be married to a beautiful young virgin girl. All arrangements are set. The ceremony is soon going to take place. All the hopes, all the anticipation of the great day would soon be here. So excited to start a life with Mary, so excited that their life together would be wonderful. They would live right there, probably in Nazareth, feeling so blessed by God. Things are good, things are in order. Joseph would probably keep up his carpentry business, keep things flowing, be surrounded by family and friends, and dreams and hopes, and they would live happily ever after. Can't you just see it? That's what he's hoping for. That's his advent. That's his anticipation. That's what he's expecting. And then God. And then God ruins everything. Mary's pregnant. Well, there goes all those dreams. There goes all those hopes and aspirations, all washed away. So much for my happily ever after, gone. So much for God's blessing in my life, gone. To stab to Joseph's heart, pain, the anguish, the betrayal, disrespect and dishonor. Joseph absolutely wanted no part of Mary and her escapades. Her lies, her deceit, cheating ways, she's tramp. She's lower than scum, whatever words you might think of. Joseph was a dignified man, faithful man, honored God, loved God, and could have had her stoned to death, and justifiably so. Joseph's caught in a dilemma. You ever been caught in a dilemma? Trying to choose between two things you don't want to choose between? Damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's no winning in any choice that you make. Joseph had choices. One, marry her quickly. Raise the child as his own. Just marry her fast. Raise the kid as her own. He could publicly humiliate her as an adulteress and have her stoned, justifiably so. He could send her away quietly, and she could have her baby somewhere else. Well, we read the choice that he made. Quietly send her away. Quietly divorce, break off the engagement, the betrothal, the understanding, break it off. Would you choose that? Would you choose that? In the moments of your betrayal, in the moments of your pain and isolation, and in the midst of your dishonor and distrust and vows that are broken, promises that are broken, would you choose that? He reacts with mercy. He reacts with grace. It kind of speaks to his character a little bit, I think. He makes a compassionate choice concerning her deception, concerning her evil, concerning the way in which she's chosen to go. He makes an empathetic choice, sympathetic, if you will. Now, in that dilemma, is that choice before or after God intervenes? He makes that choice before God intervenes. But after he had considered this, considered what? After he spent who knows how long pacing the floors, can't eat, loses his appetite, frustrated, angry, bitter, what kind of emotional roller coaster does this guy go on? He agonizes and he thinks and he's in this dilemma and he doesn't know what to do. And then he comes to a conclusion. A graceful conclusion, a compassionate conclusion. And after he had considered this, after he had made a conclusion, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Was it the character of a man that drew God to him? His personality was such that he would choose sympathy and kindness before God would intervene. It may not have even mattered what he would have chosen. God would have intervened. But does it say something about what he chose? And does it say something about who God chose as his earthly father? Sometimes in our own lives we get into places we don't quite know what to do. We don't quite know what to do. Right? We get in those situations sometimes and we're I call it like steering a parked car. Right? We're steering the parked car. We're parked. Should I go this way? Do I go that way? I don't know what to do. Right? You'll all be voting sometime next year. Do I vote this way? Do I vote that way? How do I vote? What should I vote? How should I vote? And then what am I supposed to do with my kids? Should I invite my kids? Should I not invite my kids? Should I go to church or not? And you're just steering a parked car. Sometimes you need to go in a direction. Make a choice. Draw a conclusion. Make a choice. Move in a direction. And God can intervene. God can intervene. You start the journey. Start the journey. Otherwise, you're just sitting back thinking about starting a journey. Thinking about which direction to go. Thinking about what I should do. Start the journey. Take a step. Move in a direction and God can guide. God can close doors and open doors. We believe that? But if you're just standing in front, you're not proceeding through an open door or a closed door. You're just sitting there. Move in a direction and God can guide the path. See, if you're waiting for the Lord to tell you what to do, it might be that he's waiting for you to make a decision to move in a direction that he might be able to intervene. That's what he did with Joseph. And listen, it was God who moved. It was God who moved. Then the divine intervention came into Joseph's life. Then the divine intervention came. We already know how the divine intervention came into Mary's life, right? Now the divine intervention into Joseph's life. God had to deal with Joseph, and he did. God's going to have to deal with you, and he will. And listen, Joseph has no questions, no doubts. Well, maybe he has 1,000 questions. But he has no doubt that he's heard from God. No doubt that he's heard from God. This is not some clever idea he came up with while he's pacing the floors at night, thinking about what he's supposed to do in the midst of his dilemma. This is not some overflow of his consciousness, like, oh, I think I need to be able to try to reconcile somehow the relationships. And he's not thinking of that at all. It's not even a bad reaction to matzo ball soup. It's God who intervenes. And there's no speculation on his part about it. God speaks, he gets it, and he follows it. End of story. That also says a lot about Joseph's character, doesn't it? He's not like, is this you, God? I'm not real sure. Am I hearing from you? And what am I supposed to? Listen, when God gets a hold of you, you know it. When God gets a hold of you, you know it. There's no debating it away from you. There's no arguing it away from you. Your experience, your encounter with a living and a holy and a righteous God changes you. Amen. Joseph has an encounter. He has an encounter with the master of the universe, an encounter with the creator of all things seen and unseen. He has an encounter with a righteous and a holy God. There's no doubt in his heart, his mind, or his soul. He's going to do what God tells him to do. See, when you have that kind of an encounter, you either do what God asks you to do or you don't. You either begin to change and move in a direction or you don't. You cannot stay the same after an encounter with God. God intervenes into Joseph's life for a purpose, a big purpose, a world-saving purpose, a human race purpose. That's bigger than how he feels at any point in time. And God called both Mary and Joseph to the task. He called them both. And he intervened in their lives. God has a purpose for you. Maybe you're not supposed to raise up the Messiah and be the caretaker of the Christ. Maybe you're not to give birth to Emmanuel, but there's a purpose, a significance behind you being even here now. Joseph's caught in a dilemma. He makes a choice. Watch. He makes a choice and God changes his mind. He makes a choice. Send her away quietly. It'll be fine. We'll just carry on. Go have your baby somewhere else. It'll be fine. And God changes his mind. God intervenes and changes his mind, changes his direction. Can God change your mind about anything? Can God change your mind about anything? Or do you think you already know it all? Have you been around the spiritual all your life and then just not quite grasping the entire truth of how God moves in your life? And if you recognize that God has intervened into your life, what are you doing? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, well, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, give me an amen.
Amen.
That's the vast majority. This place is full of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Praise be to God. He's intervened. Now what? Now what? God has spoken into your heart. And God speaks to you through his word.
Yes.
He's already said some things. Does he have to repeat himself? Does he have to repeat himself so that you come to an understanding in your dreams? He's already said it. He's already spoken. How about listening to what he's already said? Move in those directions. And watch what God does when he starts to define your purpose, your significance, the reason for you being here. There's often times when we come before the Lord, we're crying, we're repentive. We believe in God. But why would God have an interest in you? Why would he have an interest in you at all? Why even reveal himself to you? Why even give you the Holy Spirit of God? That we all say, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit. Amen, I'm full of the Holy Spirit today, Pastor. Why? Is it just so you can dance around and praise God? Why would God have an interest in your spouse? Why would he have an interest in your marriage? Why would he have an interest in your kids? Why would he have an interest in your healing? Why would he have an interest in any money that you might raise? Why would God intervene in your life? Why would he do that? Why did he do that with Joseph? I mean, that was divine intervention. He had to change his course. He had to change his mind. He had to change the way he was thinking and follow God. Are you willing to do that? Can you do that? Are you open to even doing that? Or are you so stuck in yourself and so prideful in yourself you can't see how God works? And how he can change your mind and transform your soul, elevate your thinking. It goes beyond you. Maybe it's perhaps that you might begin to accept his will That's hard to do. To accept his will. Get on with the purpose of your existence. Yeah, but I got cancer. Get on with the purpose of your existence. Yeah, but all my kids are drug addicts. Get on with your purpose. You don't understand, I got no money and I'm a get on with your purpose. Are you sitting there steering a parked car, thinking about what could have, should have, maybe could have, had I done what should have? Move forward. Draw some conclusions and move forward. And God, he might even change your mind. He might even change your mind and change your way of thinking. Listen, here's your next one. God with us in our decisions. God with us in our decisions. About accepting his will. Acceptance of his will for your existence. It had to be so much fun for Joseph to think about his beautiful bride and the life that they had planned, or at least that he's thinking that they're going to have. God ruined those plans. God ruined his ideas. So much for what I wanted to do. God ruined that. God can affect your decisions like he did Joseph. You could throw your hands up. Oh, that's it. All hope is gone. Life as I know it is over. No more. So yeah, done. Throwing my hands up to this whole thing. People at church are terrible. Christmas is just an awful time of the year for me. This is, I'm done. I know oftentimes you can see things as falling apart. God sees them as finally falling together. You choose. You choose. Because you make choices every day. Walk in hope and peace and joy and love, or walk in bitterness and hatred. Yes, but God ruined everything. Did he? Yeah, he did. Yes, he sure did. He ruined everything about you so that he might indwell within you and do what he desires within you. Are you willing to accept God's will and forsake your own? That's dying to self, people. God had something else in mind for Joseph and Mary. God may have something else in mind for you. Did they accept the will of God for them in their lives? Did they accept the will of God in their lives? Yes, they absolutely did. Absolutely, that's part of the story, isn't it? May it be so as you desire, God. Jesus, praying till he bleeds. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to bleed. This is going to be painful and it's going to hurt. But not my will, God. Your will. When God doesn't do what we want, it gets tough. It's hard. When God doesn't do what we want him to. But when we don't do what God wants us to do, it gets tougher. Here's your next slide. When we want to do what God wants us to do, we come into alignment. Joseph trusted God, though I'm sure he still had lots of questions. Joseph trusted he still had to do the work. See, Advent comes. Christmas is coming. Christmas is slowly moving its way upon us. And we have hopes for the way things are going to be. But we'll get stressed out. And God might ruin things. God might ruin things. I can tell you unequivocally, God ruined my life. He ruined my life. Anybody log on to the Wi-Fi that's here this morning? Anybody? Do you know what the Wi-Fi in this place is called? If you look it up, if you go on your phone and you go, boop, I want to log in, what's it called? It's called the Rec Room. God wrecks lives in here. Could have called it the doghouse. But we do that every week. God calls us the Rec Room. Why? Because he has wrecked my life here countless times. And he will wreck your life also. What is your life about? You and you only? Or is it about what God wants to do in you and through you? See, God will wreck you. He did Joseph. He did Mary. It caused a lot of scenarios. We send out Christmas cards that say, peace of the world is upon us, and we're all in conflict with our neighbors, in conflict with the people that are standing in line at the grocery store. We sign cards that say, joyful, joyful, Christmas, may the love of the Lord be with you. And then we're isolated and sad and depressed. And yet there's such bitterness and hatred and racism that spew out of our mouths. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God? Like Joseph, we can't always understand what God is up to. But we can read the word. We can hear his voice. We can trust him when he says, I am here. I am here. I've come that you might know peace and joy. I've come that you might have hope. I've come that you might have eternal life. I did not come here to condemn. The world's already condemned. I came to save. How are you walking? Are you walking in the condemned world? Or are you walking in the peace that the Holy Spirit of God lays upon you and gives you? He gives you himself. That you might be able to walk in the ways of God, not in the ways of self. This is so practical. Can we grab hold of it? God is here. His presence is vibrant. And he's speaking to you now. Some of you squirm in your seats because you don't like what he says. Because he's saying things to you that you need to change. But can you allow God to change your mind? God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are loftier than ours. And you exist for his pleasure. You exist that he can accomplish plans through you. We can believe that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. His purpose for you. Not your purpose for you. His purpose for you. Christmas happened because Joseph trusted God. Christmas happened because Mary trusted God. It didn't look like they wanted it to look. They had different hopes and different dreams. Yet they opened their lives to something very supernatural, mystical, bigger than themselves. They had a faith in God. Period. That was it. A trust in God, a trust in his word, and that's it. That's where I land. I don't pace the floors at night thinking about what other God I should follow. Healing comes as a result of trust and faith. Unity comes as a result of trust and faith. Trusting in your creator, trusting in your God. We can learn a lot from our own hopes and dreams. And what are we hoping in? And what are we hoping for? Oftentimes we're picking at the scabs of our own life because we will not accept God's will for us. I blamed God a lot for all the trouble that I created. Blame God a lot for that. And so finally, I just gave it all to him and just said, you got my life. It's going to be what it's going to be, and I'm going to give a testimony that you're in my life, you're my God, and this is how it is. And that was the end of it. Now he gets credit. I trust in him. Period. Some of us are still struggling around because we won't accept God's will. Or we're harboring unforgiveness towards our parents and unforgiveness towards our children. We still want to blame God for all the things that going on and the choices we've made. Instead of yielding, I'm hoping in God and his ways. No matter my dilemma, no matter the decisions, I'm going to trust in God. And here's the last one, God with us in direction. I'm going to trust in him in the direction that God has. Oftentimes we could see the manger scene, right? Joseph's hanging around the stable. You can see Mary's got a halo over her, right? The shepherds are all excited, and they're coming with their gold and their frankincense and their myrrh. And there's beautiful baby Jesus in a little manger with a dirty diaper. I mean, that's how it is. That's how it is. There's always a nice manger scene around that you can see driving through neighborhoods. And it always looks like Joseph is there. He's, you know, glorious, but he's kind of always just kind of on the sidelines. He's participating somehow. He looks good, but he's kind of always like, doesn't seem to have the major role, you know? Because we don't read much about him. We don't read much about the story, about who he is. But his role is hugely important, isn't it? He had the role of taking care of Mary and Jesus. Imagine that. The significance, ready, of taking care of someone else. The significance that is in itself. Taking care of the needs of others. Forget about that this is Emmanuel, the Messiah, that's come to save the world, and you're enlightened to that. How much more burden and stress do you feel in that responsibility? Did you ever have to tell, I wonder if you ever had to tell Jesus, like, go clean up your room. Jesus had a great example of an earthly father taking care of people, yielding to God, being a faithful man, making gracious and compassionate choices over and over and over again. See, because this baby, not Mary's idea. This baby, not Joseph's idea. Not even close to their idea. It was God. God's idea. And they were asked to do something amazing by their God. What are you asked to do? How are you asked to behave? This was of God. This is God speaking. How's God speaking to you? How's he changing your mind? And how many of the things in our lives we would absolutely, like Mary and Joseph, go, not my doing. Not my doing. This was all God. Not my doing. All God. Do you have any like that? And then other things that just happen in your life that you just start to go, well, I don't know. If this is a gift from God, I don't want it. If this is prostate cancer in my life, I don't want it. If this is my kids dying in an addiction, I don't want it. I don't want that gift, God. Got any like that? Got plenty like that. Where do you land? What choice do you make? Are you going to accept the will? Are you going to blame God? Are you going to curse him? Or are you going to praise him? Maybe before he even intervenes in your life again. Where are you going to be? How are you going to act? How are you going to testify? With tears in your eyes, you're writing peace on earth and Christmas cards. And if these things in your life are for a purpose, can you discover the purpose? Can you discover the significance? Because we believe that God is sovereign. I hope we believe that God is sovereign. This unlocks the healing of our own hearts and our own minds, and sometimes our own physical bodies. This brings about transformation in your heart and in your mind. These are the things, the very practical things, that move the cogwheel of your life in the direction that you start to move. And God can do great and amazing things for you. How do you treat wonderful gifts from God? How do you treat not so good gifts from God? Are they still gifts? Life is a gift. You can stop breathing in the twinkling of an eye. How are you receiving this wonderful? He's blessed you and revealed himself to you and given you himself. You're amazing people with an amazing God that wants to do amazing things in you and through you. Will you accept his will for that? Or do you want what you want? And you want your way? God's ways are different. God's ways are higher. They're loftier. They're more profound. And they speak to the very existence of your life. How do you care for this life and those that are around you, like Joseph did? Well, let's see. How about this? A church that has great Christmas decorations. Who cares? Who cares? A church that has a really cool sound system. Who cares? Really, who cares? A church that's got a great-looking pastor. Well, you know, that might be a little better. But who cares? A church with a really cool grand piano. Who cares? Church with a cool color scheme. Who cares? A church with a great marketing plan. Who cares? A church that loves people? Now you're... That's a church I could go to. That's a church I would belong to. That's a church worth dying for. And Christ did. Let's care about what God cares about. Joseph and Mary, they didn't care about reputation. They didn't really care about what other people thought. They didn't care about gossip and families and all that other stuff. They cared about what God had said to them. That's what they cared about. And that's how they walked their lives. Do you care about what God has to say? Listen, he's here now. What's he saying to you? I don't think you have to wait for a dream. Just open up his word. Just read his word. He's already spoken. He's already told you. Let's care more about people this Christmas than we do about balloons. Let's care more about this Christmas than we do more about the price of presents. Let's care about people this Christmas more than we care about the ribbons and bows. Can we bring some Christmas love into some people's lives? And listen, hey, the pastor has been telling you for a while now, you know, this Christmas season, do some Christmas shots. Do some. Bring some. You bring it. God's within you. He'll bring it. Let me pray for you as we prepare for communion. Can I have the elders or whoever's going to help me distribute come forward? Father, thank you for this opportunity. We're able to be here together. Thank you for your word. Thank you for a wonderful example of Joseph, Father. We pray, Father, that in many ways we might be able to emulate him. Walk in those ways, Father, that completely trusts in you, not always understanding everything, but trusting in you, believing in you, honoring you. And Father, as we prepare our hearts for communion, I pray that we would receive the body and the blood of Christ as a remembrance of what you have done for us. You've washed us clean. Give us an example to live by. Father, we come before you in thy precious and holy name. Amen. Gentlemen, you just sat down. You should have just kept standing up. Come on. There you are. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Jess, would you turn and face the congregation and give a word of thanks? Body of Christ that was broken for you as a redeeming sacrifice and a ransom for your forgiveness. Let us partake together.
Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here, the silent word is sing. Haste, haste. rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice.
Out shed for your forgiveness of sins, let us partake together in remembrance of him. Father, we have worshiped you, we have praised you, we have glorified you, we have exalted your name. We continue to worship you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the message today. Open our hearts, Father. Make our spirits pliable like clay, that you would shape and mold us into that which you desire for us to be. Thank you, Father, for communion and remembrance of what you have done for our forgiveness. Thank you that we are not forsaken, but that we are in right relationship with you, Father. May we walk with boldness and confidence and understanding of who you are and what you have done and how you love us. Father, as we prepare our hearts to continue in worship and give back a portion of that which you have granted to us, I pray your blessing upon it. Father, may you multiply it. May you bless the hands that give it, that we might advance your kingdom for your glory and your honor. Amen. Gentlemen, if you would.
Oh, come thou wisdom from on high, and order all things from on high. To us the path of knowledge
Isn't that awesome? This is an interesting benediction. Do not be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might become a kind of first fruits in all of creation. Go serve your God. God bless you.
Shall come.